Okay, our learning, we're going to be learning on the topic of Birchas Kohanim, the blessings of the Kohanim, and that we're going to go through some dilemmas, you know, Kohanim, Birchas Kohanim dilemmas that come up. So the mitzvah is actually, it's a positive mitzvah from the Torah that Kohanim should bless the people. It says, Koyisivarchu, like in plural, you shall bless. It also says, V'yisaron es yadav el ha'am yivarchim, that Aaron lifted his hands to the people and blessed them. So the place in which it's done is done. Today, we do it by the words of Yivarech Hashem, which is in the Shemoneh Esrei. And they do it by Shachris. And they do it by Musaf and Ne'ilah and Mincha of a fast day. We don't do it on Mincha because if people might be drunk, we're afraid that they can't give a blessing under those circumstances. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, the blessing is done, as Mechaber says, every day. In Chutz La'aretz, or in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, Simnun Zayin, this is because people, you know, those who follow the Ashkenazi custom, and you know, they're not as happy as they would be on a holiday. So on a holiday, they make the Birchas Kohanim, but not on a regular weekday. However, those who do it every day, the Alter Rebbe says, how fortunate is that, those who do it. But in theory, why it should l'chor be done every day? But it's because we don't have Simcha when we're in Torah and Ramlachtam, in our work, so therefore we don't do it every day. In Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so the question, of course, is in order to fulfill this mitzvah, you need a real kohen to make the blessing. So in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis, he says that, and this is in chapter Kuf Chav Ches, in chapter 128 in Or Chaim, if a person is a zar, they're non kohen, and they gave the Birchas Kohanim, right? Even though they're standing with other proper koyanim, they transgress, they pit mitzvah asay, because it's daber al aron vel banav lemor. It says, speak to Aaron and his children. Koyse brachos bnei Yisrael. So you shall bless bnei Yisrael, and not a non-koyan. What comes out often, I think a lot of people could be in the category that they're not 100% sure that they're koyanim. Now, it's also true to say that just because somebody was a koyan, that doesn't mean their prodigy will be koyanim. How so? Well, if a Kohen, for example, married someone he's not allowed to marry and had children from such a union, so those children could either be, you know, if they're Jewish, meaning the mother at least is Jewish, but they're not fit for a Kohen, that the children would be a halal, right? So that's someone who is unfit. So that's discussed. That is discussed in Seif, the Alter Rebbe. That's in Sifnun Hey, where there he mentions that you have what's called halal, and then you also have what's called halal medivrei sofrim. So a regular halal would be, let's say, somebody who married a grusha or a zayna, a divorced woman, or a woman who's not fit for a kohen, or a kohen, she lived with a goy before, or something like that. So now that woman automatically cannot marry a kohen, and if they have children together, that child is a halal. Sometimes you have, or if let's say the mother was a chalutza, she had a chalitza ceremony, so rabbinically she's forbidden to marry a kohen. And thus, if she has a child with him, the child would be a doubtful halal, and of course he cannot do birchas kohanim, loses his status. We find that a lot of times there are people who have doubts. They're not 100% sure if they're a Kohen. So sometimes if somebody's not sure, we don't run to turn them in and say, oh, you think you're a Kohen. Okay, come, do Birchas Kohanim. Because once you start doing that, in a way, you're now pronouncing them absolutely Kohanim. But research should be done into this. But people who are Kohanim because they know they are, and their fathers, etc., and their fathers didn't marry people, weren't forbidden to Kohanim, of course, keep that chazaka. They have that status quo of being a kohen, and they need to do this mitzvah when it arises for them. The minig, the Mishnah Berurah brings down Sif Katan Aleph. He says, some say, if some stranger comes and says, I am a kohen, we believe them at face value. The chen haminig, he says, that's the custom. Some poskim explain, for example, the Kafachayim says this is only when the person knows what a kohen means. He's a ben Torah, he's a bal Torah, he fears God, and he came from a place where people kept the concept of kahuna, But if he just came from some place where nobody was keeping religion, people there are not religious at all. So how do you expect that in such a place where nobody was religious and that's how it was status quo, how would he be a proper Kohen? Why would we be so certain that the father's father never married or had children with someone they're not fit? That would be a good question. Mm-hmm. So anyways, not for this discussion, but it is something which can be an issue. Okay, there is a discussion as what should one do if they're a doubtful Kohen. So there's a tshuva from the Ksav Sefer, and I won't go into it, but he gives different scenarios in which if a person's a doubtful Kohen, should they go up and, if there's already other Kohenim, and it's a tshuva in the Ksav Sefer where he discusses that topic at length. If there's one guard, doesn't need to leave the room. Okay, a whole topic of its own. Okay, now we'll talk about there's another topic where if a Kohen, if he hates the community, right? So it says he's not allowed to make a blessing for them. Why? Because the blessing needs to be ba'ahava. In the Sif Yud Tes, the Alter Rebbe, he mentions that if a Kohen, soine, or let's say two Kohenim don't like each other, right? They mutar in law los biyachad ve'en echad yocholor melechaver. They could both go up because he can't say, I will bless and you leave the room. No, they can't do that. But the problem would be if he is not beloved to the community or that Tzibur doesn't like him. They have a problem here because there's a sakana and such a danger because a Kohen cannot, in the Zohar it talks about, like if the Kohen is not beloved to the Tzibur, so the blessing, it's not going to be a good thing, and he shouldn't do Birchas Kohanim. He should leave the Beis HaKnesses. Now the decision on these matters was usually had to be made by the Beis Din if such a person is not fit due to that scenario. Poskim talk about that we shouldn't be so quick to rule out somebody from Birchas Kohanim because we say, oh, he's not beloved to the community. So, for example, there are tshuvas we find where from Gedolei Yisrael, where you have these scenarios where there was somebody who wasn't doing something right, and they said, in some cases, they said he can do Birchas Kohanim, but what he should not do is he shouldn't get an Aliyah Rishayna. And the reason why they might have made that issue of making that, because we find that if you're not going to let them duchen ever, they might then say, oh, I'm not a Kohen. Uh-huh. So therefore, they might then think they can marry people they're not allowed to marry, like a grusha, a divorcee, or whatever. So therefore, it's a matter which is not so simple that one should be able to just rule out someone being unfit to bless due to that matters. And sometimes the hatred, or chas shalom, hopefully there was no hatred, but if there was, sometimes it could be for good matters. For example, they don't like someone because of they're doing something wrong. So it's not a personal issue, but rather it is a religious issue, which is l'shem shemayim, that could be another story. And thus al pi Torah, maybe it's not forbidden that they are disliking someone's behavior. Therefore, to say, oh, well, this person doesn't like this, but he can't bless, that would not be necessarily a proper, quick decision to make. And, of course, it should not be quickly ruled out such a person. We also have another problem that can come up, is that a Kohen needs to know how to pronounce the words correctly. Sif Mem Ches, Shulchan Aruch Rav, he mentions, if the Kohen cannot properly pronounce the words, the letters, we are concerned. Like, for example, it says, Ya'er Hashem Panav. Hashem should shine his countenance, shine himself. So if you say Ya'er instead of the Aleph, like properly, it should shine. It might say he should arouse or something. You could have a different word altogether. How much more so if we're talking about words where they're really pronouncing the letters wrong? So then it says, he can't, such a Kohen can't bless. This is in Siv Mem Ches. Misha nidei lachtoich ha'osius. He can't pronounce the letters properly. So in such a case, he brings down that if people recognize that it sounds wrong, you can't do it. It could be a heter if everybody's missing, basically not makpid, not careful on certain pronunciations. And the end of Sif Mem Ches, Alter Rebbe says, when you're going to change the meaning of the words that are going to sound wrong, to change the meaning, that would be a ptaka problem. Unless everybody reads it incorrectly in a way where nobody would misunderstand it for the wrong meaning. Some poskim point out that if, let's say, we're talking about somebody who has difficulty in speech, so can he really do Berachas Kohanim? So, as I would say, if he says it quietly and there's other Kohanim and he's just in the unison and you don't really hear him mispronouncing it, that might alleviate the problem. Thus, you're not really hearing them mispronounce, and they're trying their best. If they have speech impairments or like, they're trying their best to do the bracha properly. Then if they're with many other kohanim, they could be allowance. Now, there is a question if a kohen killed somebody. So there's, I'll just say as follows. Even though if a kohen is not a shomer mitzvahs, he doesn't keep many mitzvahs, could even be doing, he does even some things he shouldn't be doing. But as long as he doesn't do, like, killing, or he didn't change his religion, right? So we don't necessarily cancel him out. We'll see. There's also Chilul Shabbos, which is generally more severe than other ones, as we'll talk about soon. So it says that if he killed someone, even if it was a mistake, he cannot do Bechas Koyanim until he does a proper kapar. That's mentioned in Sif Nun. And the wording there, I'm going to read part of it inside. Sif Nun, Koyin Shaharagas Anefesh Afilo Bishogi Lo Yisekapa, right? It says that if he killed by mistake, he still can't lift his hands. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah, Prushechem, Kapechem, Alim, Enimicham. Yeah, you're going to lift up your hands. I'm not going to, still not going to. Kisarbu Ugam, Kisarbu Tfila, Ineni Shame, Yedechem, Dami Malo. Your hands are full of blood. I don't want your blessings, Hashem says, right? Even if they. So therefore, if they do a really proper tshuva, particularly we could be meko lebali tshuva, shalei linol delis bifneim v'chei noigin. The minig is, however, that if they really did a proper tshuva, then we would allow them to do so. And again, it all depends if they properly did a proper tshuva. So now, it brings up the question, let's say, in olden times, unfortunately, Jews had to go to war. They were forced into fighting in wars, and sometimes they didn't know who they were, who was on the enemy side. Maybe they were fighting another Jew, God forbid. And indeed, you know, they had to fight for, they had no choice. So they were afraid if they're killing somebody, they're killing another Jew. So look, if you're killing enemy from the Goyim, the enemies, and they, you know, so that's it, that would not invalidate someone to do Birchas Koyanim. Because they're doing, in a way, you know, you're moving terrorists or enemies. It's a mitzvah. Problem is if you're killing a Jew. But when it's all enemy side, so then certainly there's no problem. But what happens, so if a person was fighting against another country, like Ukraine or Russia, they don't know who they're killing. As long as they don't assume, they don't have proof they killed another Yid, so they could do Birchas Koyanim. What happens if they killed by mistake, chas v'shalom, a Jew, but that was not their intent. They were trying to kill terrorists, and by mistake, they killed chas v'shalom, maybe a Jew. So there's a tshuva from Avadia Yosef, and in it, it's called Sefer Yechavedas, and in it, he says that really we can be, it was not, obviously it was not intended. We then, they're doing their best to do, you know, of course, in the midst of saving the Jewish people, so then he says it would be, it would not invalidate them to do Birchas Koyanim. This is in Yechavedas Chelek Beis, I mean, Yudalid. All right, if they mistakenly killed another Yid, thinking it was the enemy. Mistaber Shindine Kenizkerle B'Shema Poison Lahatra Lisa Kapayim to Honest Gummer. Because the person is it's an onus. If he did it, it was completely, it's not even a shogeg. It's not like it's a mistake. It's like completely unexpected because, you know, they're on the battlefield and they're doing their best to try to do the right thing. And things like that can happen. But he says, V'yase tshuva al mikrim hamitzar shnigram al yad. But still, they should do tshuva to the best of their ability because of the pain that happened as a result of it. Now, there's also another question is, let's say somebody changed religions. So that's in Shulchan Aruch Sif Nun Aleph. In there, again, we're extra stringent also by this Avera, even though that not every Avera that a person does would invalidate them from Birchas Kohanim, but if they switch to another religion, so that is a severe one. And therefore, Kohen Sif Nun Aleph, Kohen Shemer Datoi, Afilo Dati Shmeelim, he says, even if it was to the Ishmaelites, that they are not Oyved Avodah Zarah, he lost his Kedusha, this Kohen lost his Kedusha, and he's not allowed to do Nesias Kapayim, and he can't get a first Aliyah to the Torah, as long as he didn't do Tshuva. But if he did do Tshuva, even though he went into Avodah Zarah or whatever, and he returned back, his Kedusha returns to him, and he can then redo, he could do Birchas Kohanim and the like, and get a first Aliyah. Now, there is an extra severity when we're talking about somebody who is Michalo Shabbos. This is in Sif Nun Beis of Shulchan Aruch the Alter Rebbe, and he says as follows. Guy could be a Baal Avera. It doesn't make a difference. That's not necessarily going to invalidate him from being doing Birchas Kohanim. And the reason, Ein Oimrim L'Rasha Hoisiv Rasha Rishascha. We don't say to a Rasha, oh, you're bad, stay even worse. You know, he has a mitzvah to perform. We're not going to take that mitzvah away from him. Yeah, maybe he's not the best person, but he has a mitzvah. Let him do it. However, when we're talking about Shabbos, if he's Michal Shabbos Befarhesia, so that's very severe. Why? Because if he does that, he's considered, in a way, like he's denying the creation of the earth, and Hashem rested. So he's like, he's a goy in all regards. So now the shaila is, you have so many people today, unfortunately, that are maybe Michal Shabbos. Okay, they are. Some are Michal Shabbos from Farhesia. We're going to say that they don't get an aliyah, the Torah, as a Kohen, and they can't do Birchas Kohanim. So look, Chilul Shabbos is always something that we have to take very severe, and it's not something that we should brush off. Oh, well, you don't know any better. It's fine. It's fine. It's not fine, and we have to take it serious. However, there is a discussion in the Poskim about you know, the scenario of today where you have so many people like that. So are we going to say that since they're like Tinok Shnishbo, which is like a child who is taken captive, and therefore they grew up by the Goyim, and therefore they don't know any better? Well, nonetheless, that's not something, as I mentioned, that we can just brush off so simply. However, Poskim, as I will mention in a moment, point out, and this is mentioned, let's say, in Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Zayin, Simen Vav, Chelek Yud Gimel, Simen Yud Dalet, and he quote another Poskim that mentioned this. They say that if we're going to really step to this, that someone who's Michal Shabbos, again, a person who grew up not from or doesn't know much better, and we're going to refrain them from doing Birchas Kohanim, what's going to happen? They're going to not think that they are Kohanim. They're going to then think automatically they should marry or can marry people who Kohanim are not allowed to marry. And it could come also to having fights. And to bring them back to Yiddishkeit, sometimes we have to, almost to say, close our eyes or not noticeably show attention to if they do Birchas Kohanim. We don't have to necessarily always get involved because you don't know what the consequences be if you're going to stick to the letter of the law. Now, if they're asking, should they, and you know that they're Michal Shabbos, that they're not ready to start keeping Shabbos, I wouldn't say that you should instruct them that they should do it, because it's still, the Torah says, the Halacha says not. But to not let them do it, that's not, we don't have to do it if it's going to cause them to go in the bad ways. Particularly if there are other Kohanim and they're just joining other Kohanim, so then it alleviates a lot of the issue. Okay, and we're going to finish off that also we have a Kohen who transgresses mitzvahs that are special to Kahuna. So that's in Sif Nun Gimel. In Sif Nun Gimel, it discusses is that when the Kohen, his own unique mitzvahs, he's not himself fulfilling, So then we go very harsh on such a kohen, meaning we don't give him the privileges of the duchening. You don't give him the privileges of getting an aliyah. A guy is married to a grusha, he's married to a divorcee, or let's say he goes to the cemetery or whatever, he's dating, living with a shiksa or whatever. How can you give him bechas kohenim and the first aliyah? So in such a case, we don't allow, because this is a special mitzvah, which it's not for a Yisrael that he can't, and Yisrael can marry a divorcee, but a kohen can't. So if this person is not careful in his specific mitzvahs, the kansu chachamim, this is nun gimel upaslu mikol milus kohuna. We remove him and we don't allow him to any milus of kohuna. Or let's say he married a chalutza, or he goes to cemeteries of people that he has no halachic right to do for einay noisik kapayim ve'einay gemay kedusha afilu likrusadar. We don't even give him the first aliyah. So how does a guy fix the circumstances? What does he need to do to fix the circumstances? So he has to do what's called a neder al dasram, that if he doesn't stay with this person anymore, he's not in this relationship anymore, his proper tshuva is that he makes a neder on public, on the community. He says a vow, I'm not going to marry such people anymore. And if he does that, that removes him from this concern, and then he would be allowed to go back to Birchas Kohanim and the like.